All right, brethren, if you will, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. About 7 minutes ago, I changed the title of this, and it would be a lot nicer to look at, but I can't spell that well. It's imputed, imparted, and enacted. I had enabled, but enabled begins with an E. Imputed, imparted, enacted. Tonight we're briefly going to see the state of all natural men and women in the eyes of God. We are, by birth and from our birth, full of sin and corruption. We're evil to our very core. And we will see how that happened. We'll see how that happened tonight. Before conception, in conception, and after we were born, where that came from. Also, we will see the two federal heads that we have, that the Lord sees. When the Lord speaks in these scriptures, many times He speaks as if He's only talking about two people. Adam and Christ. Adam the federal head, Christ our federal head. The first man and the last man. First Adam, second Adam. In Adam we die. In Christ we live. It's night and day, light and darkness, isn't it, buddy? All right, Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this evening, as we look over these verses, we're going to take it in two chunks, and it's going to feel like we're bouncing around quite a bit, but we need to see these things. It's a difficult passage to address sometimes, and we need to see what the Scriptures say about it. But we're going to begin there in verse 14. We'll look there first. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude. That means the likeness. That means the same way, a similar way of Adam's transgression, who, Adam, is the figure of him that was to come. Now, Adam here is a positive picture. He's a positive type of Christ in that he was the federal head. He was the representative of the whole human race before everyone was born. All born of God in the new birth, His children, His sheep, all of them, they're born through Christ. He's our head. He's the believer's head. Adam's everyone's head. Now every person born on this earth is from Adam. He's our seminal head. If we trace our DNA back, getting a mitochondrial DNA, the powerhouse of the cell, right? There's mitochondrial DNA that only comes from a woman, from the mother, and you can trace that back to one person. We can trace all that back to Eve. And so we know that we came from Adam. He was our father. But every child of God that is born again in the heart, they're born there, their father's from Christ. He's given that life. He's the head of his church, same as Adam's the head of the human race. But this is the only positive picture, only positive type of Adam given in the Scriptures, of him being like Christ. The other types are all negative. They're anti-types, or opposite types, as pictures of our Redeemer. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to begin in verse 45. First Corinthians 15, 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Adam was made alive, but Christ is life. Adam was made alive, but Christ makes alive. Verse 46, howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, Adam, but that which was natural, and afterwards that which was spiritual. Mankind is natural and physical. God is a spirit. The nature from Adam is not spiritual. Spiritual life must come from Christ. He has to give it. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth. Earthy. That's Adam's name. Adam means red earth. Red dirt. The second man is the Lord from heaven. See, that first man, Adam, he was made of what he is. And his seed is made of what he is. Dirt. We're just dirt. Second man, the second Adam, Christ, he was from heaven, and he became a man. The God-man. Adam's from the earth, and Christ was not from the earth, but from heaven. In verse 48, as is the earthly Adam, such are they also that are earthy. That's me and you. As Adam sinned, we sinned. And as is the heavenly, that's Christ, such are they also that are heavenly. Christ's sheep. As Christ is righteous, we're righteous. Verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, Adam's death, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, life in Christ. Now Adam is the flesh's federal head, and we are from him, we're like him, and we're going to die like he died. You go through the Old Testament and read Adam lived 930 years. That's a long time, isn't it? But you read all that, and he died. And Seth lives this long, and he died. Methuselah lived that long, and he died. That's the three words that come with every man, every human, and he died. And she died. We have an end, don't we? Just like our federal head. Now, Christ is the believer's head. It says he's the head of the church. Our new nature is born from him. It's like him. And we're going to live as he lives. Eternally. Now this is why people die. I don't know anybody that's lived forever. The Lord said he limited man's days to 120 years. But why do we die? Why do we do that? It's because we have sin in us. Sin kills us. Adam would have lived forever, being morally innocent, before sin entered in. If he had never sinned, he would still be alive today. That's what sin does to us. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Physical death is our proof that we're the seed of Adam. Just as right, our spiritual death is proof that we died in the garden. That's our proof, outside and inside, physically and spiritually. We're dead in him. Now we're going to look at the imputed and imparted portions. Our sin against God is counted, it's imputed before we were conceived in Adam. It's imputed in Adam, counted in Adam. He's the flesh's representative. This flesh, this person I live in, he's my representative whenever I was naturally born on this earth. But as equally so, Christ's righteousness is counted to his elect. It's imputed to his elect. Adam's sin was accounted to us before we were made. Christ's righteousness was counted to us before I was made. Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, how can it be fair that I'm counted guilty before I was ever even made. And I want you to think, I've used this illustration before. If you're an American, you go to the war-torn portion of the Middle East. You go up in them Kush mountain ranges. And it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how you act. It doesn't matter what you say. None of that matters. You're an American, and you're going to pay for it. You can be the biggest fan that they have, and you're going to be in an orange jumpsuit by the evening. I was even born whenever this United States helped establish that physical Israel 70-some years ago. Why are they mad at me? It doesn't matter. That's who we are. It's imputed to us as Americans that were born here. It's our birthright. You don't have to like it, but it's so. Now, in Adam, all of mankind fell, and we're accountable. Adam was responsible. I'm accountable for it. Responsibility and accountability. If that were not enough, if the seminal head sinning against God, my representative sinned against God, if that wasn't enough to condemn me, we also have sin imparted to us. Our nature in us at birth, given by our parents, is the nature given by their parents, and so on, all the way back to Adam and Eve. It's the same nature. We're born, we are driven by that nature we're born with. It's our instinct to sin. David wrote, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies." I didn't have to teach any of you four children to lie, did I? You did it from birth. You know how to. It's your nature. It's your instinct. But we're counted guilty in Adam, and we're given a nature that is guilty in and of itself. It's imputed to us in Adam, and it's imparted to us by Adam. And back at our text there in Romans 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So you see, we fell in Adam, and we fell in ourselves too. I can blame it on him, but I came from the womb this way. It's my fault. And the proof of that is our death. If we had no sin, we wouldn't die. But we're spiritually dead. And so physically, our death is evidence of that. Now we're going to skip over verse 13 through 17. That's in parentheses. We can take that out without doing harm to the text. We're going to look at verse 18 down at the end of the chapter. But at the end of this, we're going to come back to verse 13 through 17. So Romans 5, 18. "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Now when Adam listened to his wife instead of God, he fell. He hearkened unto his wife. He didn't listen to the Lord. He offended the thrice holy God. We were not there physically when this happened, but we were in his loins. And just like that Hebrew writer tells us, Levi paid tithes when Abraham, his great-grandfather, paid tithes, because he was in Abraham's loins. And so Adam spiritually came into condemnation, so we came into condemnation. Now in the same way, in the similitude, in the like manner, as we are in Adam, Christ became a man. He lived perfectly under that holy law of God. He satisfied God's perfect justice on the cross. He rose from the grave victorious. And he ascended on high, seated at the right hand of the Father. Now equally so, his spiritual children, those that are his, given to him by the Father before the world was made, we live perfectly. I died on that cross. I rose again, satisfied in justice, and I'm seated at the right hand. Joint heirs with Christ, and we live there forever. There is no death. Now, we're not responsible for satisfying the Father, but we're accountable for it, aren't we? It's imputed to us, and it's imparted to us. That's the new nature we give in the new birth. If a man or woman has an issue with our guilt on Adam's behalf, they will have an issue with our holiness on Christ's behalf. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "For as in Adam all die, so even so in Christ shall all be made alive." We died in Him, and the only place we'll be made alive is in Him, in Christ. We died in Adam, made alive in Christ. All right, verse 19. Romans 5:19. "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." My pastor growing up, Brother Henry, used to say, "Adam's sin did not make us only susceptible to our sin, nor lead us into sin, but we were actually made sinners. Christ's obedience unto death did not make it possible for me to be righteous. His birth, His life, and His death made us righteous." Made that way. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be offered," suggested, no, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now the fatalist will take a stand at this. They'll say, "See, I have no part in any of this. Everything's already predetermined. I don't have a dog in this fight. It has nothing to do with me. It's imparted and imputed to me." Not so. Remember, we had that guilt imputed to us, and it was imparted to us, but we acted on it. Look here in verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Now this law was given to show us what we are. Not what Adam was, to show us what we are. We ourselves. It was given to shut us up to the Holy God. Point us only to Christ. Show sinners what we are by our nature and how desperately we need a substitute. It's the purpose of the law. But where that sin abounds in the light of God's law, and His law casts that light on everything we've done in our lives, how imperfect we are, the grace through Christ Jesus did much more abound. The offense abounded in death through the law. Turn left a few pages to Romans 3. We looked at this several weeks ago. Romans 3, verse 19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall there no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." We know our sin because of the law, but grace did much more abound. In the Savior, we are reconciled to God. Christ reconciled us, made us at one. Colossians 1:21 says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and were enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." Christ also gave us satisfaction for all of our condemnation. Condemnation from the Father is satisfied. Romans 8:1 says, "There is now therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." He reconciled us. He satisfied that condemnation. And we're set apart. We're sanctified and made new by Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." He provides all three of those for us. Look back in our text there, verse 21. Romans 5:21. "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin had a complete power over us. It was what we were, totally, inside and out. And we die from it, physically on this earth, and our eternal souls die from it. It kills us. But God regenerated His people through Christ's righteousness. Now we are ruled by His graciousness, ruled by His holiness, by His life. His power rules us and makes us alive forever. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now turn over to the right a couple pages to Romans chapter 6, look in verse 12. Romans 6:12. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Now what John wrote there in 1 John 5, this is not grievous. It's a pleasure. When we're made to know the grace that was bestowed on us, it's now natural in us, that new nature. That's its instinct. That's its nature, is to honor the Lord. Praise Christ for what He's done, for what He's accomplished. He gets all the glory. We see our freedom from the law by His effectual substitution. Now it's natural in this new man to want Christ to receive all the praise and glory. He gets it all. Now back to our text, and we'll look at verses 13 through 17. Romans 5:13. "For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law." Some people may say, well, there was no law, so there can be no guilt. And I ask you, well, why do people die? If they weren't guilty, they sure suffered death, didn't they? It's because they were still sinners through Adam and his body. Now, guilt is not counted to a person when there's no charge from the law, but sin can still be present. How's that? How's that possible? It's because the Lord's law is written on our hearts. No piece of paper has to tell me that murder is wrong. I hope, Lord willing, if He allows me, I'll address this Sunday evening, in our first Sunday evening message. But our founding fathers gave us a Bill of Rights, didn't they? Inside the Constitution, 10 unalienable rights for all men. But not to knock the Constitution, I fought for it, so I have the right to say something about it. But our only right in this world, what rights do I have? My rights are important. Our rights to death. Our right is to live through this earth and face judgment. That's the only right we have. We don't even have a right to taxes. We may be born in a country, there is no taxes. We have a right to death. That's it. But when Adam had his first two sons, there was no law. Thou shalt not kill had not yet been wrote on those stone tablets. But Cain killed his brother, didn't he? Now get this. Those of you that's never believed on Christ, those of you that haven't had a work done in Him, grab a hold of this. Cain did not become a murderer when he killed Abel. You understand that? Cain did not become a murderer when he killed Abel. Cain was a murderer in his heart, and it manifested in Abel getting killed. That might be a play on words, and I'm just a simple man from Kentucky without a theological background. Get your head wrapped around that. But even without the law present, transgression was still there. Now, I thought of an illustration I can describe this. It's kind of heavy with the Cain and Abel. I'm going to lighten it up a little bit. So you young people, do not do as I do, you do as I say, you understand? On Interstate 5 from San Diego to L.A., I could get in a BMW 7 Series and do 165 miles an hour. If there wasn't a car on the road, I could get on I-5 and head north doing 165 miles an hour. Now that's illegal, isn't it? That's against the law. There's a law enacted in place that makes that illegal. I broke the law. Now it's also dangerous and it's also deadly, isn't it? If I had a tire blowout, I would die. Now about 16 years ago, I picked my mom up from the Frankfurt, Germany airport in a BMW, and I rented, and I got on A3 from Frankfurt to Würzburg, and I did 165 miles an hour. She didn't know it. She looked over, and Grandma about passed out, JC. Now, what I was doing, was it illegal? No. There is no law against going that fast on that section of Autobahn 3. It's not illegal. Now listen to me. Was it still dangerous? What happened if I was going that fast with Grandma in a car, Johanna, and a tire popped? I've seen it happen. I saw some smart cars do some flips. It's dangerous. But more importantly, what is it? It's deadly. There's no posted law. There's no law enacted. What I did was legal. There's no law there to condemn me. But it's deadly. The sin we have, and all those saints had, everybody that lived before Moses came out of that wilderness, went up to the Mount Sinai and got those Ten Commandments. Before that ever happened, before the Levitical law ever came, sin's deadly. If it's imputed, imparted, or enacted, it doesn't matter. All right, verse 14. Nevertheless, law or no law, sin was still present. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, sin was imputed to us in Adam. It was imparted to us from Adam. And it's enacted and initiated by us in our actions. It's initiated. It makes this three words with the I, but it initiated. I still ain't got that in my head right. Enabled with an E. I labor this point because the age of accountability is a heavily argued point. A lot of people like to fight over the age of accountability. Paul sorts this out right here. I'm going to see if I can sum this up as plain as I can. Outside of Christ, if we're on our own, we were sinners before we were conceived, we were sinners during our conception, and we're sinners by commission and omission after we're born. Now with that said, a man, woman, or child's only hope for life, only hope you have to escape eternal death is in Christ. Not in works, but in grace alone, in Christ alone. That's our only hope. The Lord has to make us aware that we're in darkness before. He has to shed His light on us before we can see what light is. We've never seen it before. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so as also the free gift. For though the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one's condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. That can be kind of hard to read, isn't it? That sounds a little complicated. The fall we had in Adam is not worthy to be compared to the grace that's given by our Lord. In Christ, we've gained so much more than we've lost in that garden. Our Lord did not extinguish the wrath for a sin, for one sin, but for all of our sins. Adam committed one. He transgressed one time. Christ covered all of my sins, all the ones I know about, all the ones I don't know about. And all of them for all of His people. Everyone that was given to His hand. The fall of Adam is only undone, imputed, imparted, and enacted by us. It's only undone by the blood of Christ. But once that blood's been applied, there's no undoing it. It's forever. He's the cure of death, but once He's given life, it can't be taken away. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No matter what. We're in His grip. That one man used to write Dawn from prison. He would sign his letters in His grip. I like that. It's a good place to be. I don't think He'll let us go or drop us, will He? Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. When we are shown our true sin nature, when we see how powerful that sin is, how it reigned through us, throughout our thoughts, throughout our actions, every fiber of our being, when we see that, even the actions we didn't know we took, even the thoughts we didn't even know we had, sins intertwined in our dreams, things we can't control. As much as that sin reigned over us unto death, much more so shall those who are made righteous by Christ reign with Him in eternity. Reign with Him in eternity, being made like Him. Turn over here to Romans 8 a few pages and we'll close. Romans 8 verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now when that judgment day comes, death will come. When that judgment day comes, either that final day when the Lord appears, or my final day, your final day. Whenever you want to face the Lord, when that time comes, who do you want to be your federal head? Here's the verdict. Do you want to be found in the nature of Adam, looking to your knowledge, your wisdom, your ability? Do you want your sin imputed to you that Adam had? Do you want it imparted to you in Adam's seed? Do you want to be initiated by you, by your actions? Or do you want to be found in Christ, looking only to Him, given His nature? You want Christ's righteousness imputed to you, counted in your stead? Do you want it imparted to you, given to you in the new birth that you walk and live in? That's your new nature. And you want it initiated and enacted by Him. He enables it. However, whichever one of those three words, all three of them, He does it. Come to Christ, begging for mercy that only God Almighty can grant. He's the only one that can grant it. Come to Him. And you will not be disappointed. You'll have eternal life. Amen. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we can't enter into the riches and the depths of Your blessings, of Your glory, Your majesty. Lord, what a beautiful picture You've given us of our inability, our wretchedness, and Your loving hand choosing a people. Lord, thank You for choosing me. Thank You for providing my righteousness that's Christ's righteousness. Thank You for saving a people, Lord. Let us live in this world to honor Christ our Savior. Let us walk through this world like people that trust Him, Lord. People that know Him. If we're His children, Lord, let us give us a wisdom to know and act like our Lord's on the throne. Let us praise Him. Lord, until that day comes when our faith is made sight, when we're made like He is. What a blessed day, Lord. Let that be in our thoughts. Not this world, not the worries here, not the concerns. Your holy kingdom, Your holy high command. Let us meditate on those things. Lord, be with Your servants as they prepare for this weekend. Give them a message. Give them boldness. Let them proclaim Your Son. It's in His name that we ask it. Amen.